feeling down, or you know, you're having to move. Old song, we're troubled on every side, and one day we'll make our last move. Down here, I forgot how that goes now. But we're troubled with packing every time we move. Let there be no more moving. She said, time will be no more. I heard a preacher preach this week, and he said, time was made for man.
Yeah.
God said, man's days will be 120. Man didn't have no days till God said that. And
right.
Anyway, and God shortened them on down to about 70, and sometimes they ain't that far. But time, we don't have to worry about time. We don't have to worry about calendars.
Right.
Today's the 27th, but there won't be no calendars in heaven. There won't be no cheap Timex watches in heaven. Throw it all away. Well, we won't be chained or whatever you call it, handcuffed to time. It'll be a dead issue.
Right.
We got eternal life. Who cares about the time anymore? Well, I appreciate those songs. I appreciate the spirit. Does anybody know where Miranda and Mark is? Are they all right? I've really been missing them. I just thought I'd ask anybody know to, if they's doing all right. But I was really hoping they'd be here today. Well, we yesterday was a praying, and early yesterday morning I was telling the Lord, I really don't have anything burning in my heart, and I do like it when I do. I believe it was Jeremiah said his word like a fire burning in his bones, and Hebrews said he make his ministers of fire, and I didn't feel have a whole lot of fire yesterday. And I was praying, I said, Lord, I know to preach your word if you don't give me a message, but I said I'd rather have a message, but I will preach your word if I don't get a message from you. And Lord stirred my heart about this message, and I hate to be honest to tell you this, but I really didn't put a lot of emphasis on what God stirred my heart about. But you can open your Bibles, Luke chapter 15. It's the parable about the prodigal son. When God stirred my heart about that, I thought, you know, that's kind of like John 3:16. I remember hearing a story one time about a big-name preacher. And he had prayed about what to preach at this revival at this big church, and God had stirred him to preach about John 3:16, and he said, Lord, there just ain't nothing there. And anyway, make a long story short, he obeyed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But he obeyed what God told him. And when he read the text, I mean, the dam broke. There were several people who got saved, and he ended up, you know, really got blessed just through obeying. And that's what I want to do. I want to obey the Lord.
Yeah.
But he directed me to this parable of the prodigal son. I'll give you an idea here of just how God handled this. I was expecting this to be just a little sermonette. It'll be a two-part message. I just didn't realize how much God was going to bring out in this parable of this lost son. This prodigal son, I'm sorry. Parable of this prodigal son. And I didn't put really a lot of stock in it. But when God got to speaking to me and opened this thing up, I'm going to go ahead and read Luke 15 from verse 11 to 24, but I'm going to stop at verse number 16 when it comes to preaching today. But we'll start verse number 16. The Bible said it's a parable of a lost son. And the Bible said, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them. There's a key word right there.
Mm-hmm.
Not to him. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain or he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to preach today using verse 16 as a text verse. I want to preach today, have you had your fill? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God in the day and hour which we're living in, when there's a famine of hearing the Word of God. We count it an honor and privilege. We thank you, Father, for the good songs that have been sung. We thank you, Lord, for the good testimonies that have already been given. We thank you, Lord, for what we felt in our heart, knowing that it came from God. I'm glad, Lord, that you minister to us. You come to us in our need. Yes. Lord, you love us and help us and walk with us throughout this world. Yes. The psalmist said, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because he put his trust in the Lord. And Lord, I'm same mind. I don't fear anymore. I've made you my refuge, and under the shadow of your wing I feel safe. Help us, I pray, even right now, today, to deliver this message you put in our heart. And Lord, help us to say it like you said it unto us. And Lord, whatever honor there may it be upon you. We thank you and ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This story about this prodigal son been preached a gazillion times. One thing about God's bread, it's never stale.
Right.
But I think a lot about this prodigal son, and I kind of got to put it in perspective of my own life. Did you notice this is the younger of the two sons? Verse 11 said the younger of them. I guess he probably got to the point, he said, I'm tired of being told what to do. Maybe he, like us, I'm old enough to make my own decision.
Yeah.
You know, just with those two statements, the young boy I gave a ride this morning, I told him, I said, you know, looking back on my life, one thing I wished I did differently, I said, I wished I'd listen more and talk less. The Bible does say in study, be quiet.
That's right.
Be ready always.
That's right.
To give an ear, to hear.
That's right.
And I let wisdom go to the grave that I could have went down there. Right. I could have wrote it down. I could have even took a recorder. I've been too lazy to write it down, Brother Mitchell. And I said, Mama May, would you please share some of that good wisdom you've learned through all these years of life's struggle?
Amen.
We let wisdom just go on. You see, young people, they just live for the day. They don't really put much thought to tomorrow. They don't put much thought to anything going wrong.
Right.
They just
right.
live today. That's all that right. matters. It's my life. I'll live it however I want to. Right. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, that's this prodigal son. He pictures all of us. I don't know about y'all, but I can bear witness to this. I'll bring that out here in a minute. But it was the younger son that was foolish.
Right.
The young make a lot of mistakes until they learn better.
Yeah.
Good illustration right here. My son,
amen,
When he got his driver's license, and as a father, I helped him build this Camaro up. I put this big hot rod motor in it, Rita. And I put him a 5-speed transmission in that thing like an idiot. I built this motor, he was bad to the bone. He started up and it scared me. And I told him, I said, son, drive that thing with some sense.
Yeah.
You know what he told me, Brother Jerry? He said, I don't know why they put them speed limits on there. I can take them curves twice as fast as that. You know what I told him, Brother Ed? I said, that's all right unless you meet somebody.
That's
they put
right.
them signs up
that's
there.
Right.
So you'll have enough sense to be able to compensate
right.
for what's around that curve or over top
that's
of that
right.
hill.
Amen.
It went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
One day I was coming home from work and I seen this blue Camaro way down this farmer's field. I mean, went through the fence. It's down there. I think I was running. I mean, if I had put the truck apart, but not, I run down there. He ain't in it. And I'm looking frantically for him, and finally I give up. We didn't have cell phones back then. And I drove home, and he's home. The sheriff had gave him a ride home. He said, Dad, I wish I'd listened to you. Well, that's kind of where the young are.
Yeah, that's right.
They got ears, but they don't hear.
You got that right.
I mean, I'll tell you what, buddy, I was young at one time, and I'm just like my son there. I had learned everything the hard way.
That's right.
And this younger son of this father here, I mean, he's a prime example of what's wrong in the world.
Yeah.
Some don't make it back.
That's right.
To say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. They find their bodies discarded in the day and hour we're living in because there's so many wolves out there. They find their bodies discarded, abused, and left like waste along the highway.
Right.
And they learned the hard way that they made a mistake. And that's sad indeed.
It is.
Those that do survive have a praying mom or a praying dad to thank.
That's right.
I appreciated right. Sister Sharon's testimony. She said, I pray for them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we got to do.
That's right.
We got to stand in the gap. One thing he said about old Job, buddy, he done it continually. He prayed for his children.
Right.
They might have messed up, but I'll tell you what, buddy, he had a praying father. One thing we can do, we can pray for them. Lord, I can't be with them, but you can.
Yeah.
Lord, I can't help them, but you can. Lord, I can't watch over them all the time, but you can. Go with them. Make sure they make it back all right. I heard a praying mom bringing her boys back from military. And the men with them said, we don't know how they survived. There were bullets flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Prayers make a difference, buddy.
It does.
I believe a lot of these prodigals that make it back home, that come back humbled and come back happy and come back, you know, maybe they've got a hurt or two, but they're thankful to be back home.
Yeah.
I believe they had a praying mom or a praying dad to thank. Yeah. I got 3 points here in this message. It's a pretty simple message. Got God all over it. First point is the leaving. Now, there come a time when this boy decided it was in his best interest to leave the father's house. No reason to leave. Just, you know, he done heard all these stories. You know how it is, you know.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you try this. You know, I've been down that road. Drink this. Smoke this. Try some of this. What's this? Do this. And all that. You feel like, you know, you're just a complete idiot. You look back on all of it. Thinking, I would have had more sense of it. I mean, you end up getting hurt, and we all laugh, think it was funny, and it wasn't funny, really, but you try to laugh it off.
That's right.
Well, anyway, there come a time, Brother Mitchell, that this young boy decided it was in his best interest to leave. You find that in verse number 12. And the younger of the two sons of this man said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the good that falleth unto me. And he divided unto him his living. I must get the wrong verse here. Verse 13, I guess, is one that included the leaving, because it said, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. Yeah, I had verse 12 and 13 wrote there, marked out verse 13. I guess I messed up. But let me say this. This loving father in this parable, for those of you that don't know, this is actually a parable about God and Israel. That's what it's all about. But it fits the mold for you and me and everybody else.
That's right.
But it's actually a parable about Israel wanting to live a worldly life and yet have a godly relationship, and you can't serve two masters.
Amen.
You'll love one, hate the other, but the parable actually
Amen.
Is about Israel's relationship to God, is what it is. This loving father, he pictures God in this parable. And this loving father allows this young man to make this immature, terrible decision. Mm-hmm. He let him leave. He gave in to his request. You know, sometimes it's hard to let them leave, but some lessons are better learned the hard way.
That's right.
The Bible talks about the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13:15. And this father, like all loving parents, let this young boy go. It wasn't in the best interest, this young boy. Now, for those of you that watch the news, and that's all I do, I'm addicted to news, I guess. This morning they found the young boy that shot his parents dead, that shot his girlfriend dead, and his girlfriend's father, and his girlfriend's girlfriend, and shot five people dead. They caught him, and I don't know what's happened because they just caught him as he was leaving. But you see, when you're young, you do a lot of stupid things.
That's right.
That was a stupid thing. That boy will live to regret what he did. But at the moment, I don't know if he was on something. I don't know anything about it. I just know this. This loving father, even though it wasn't in the best interest of this young man, in love, he gave him everything that he needed and let him leave. The leaving part. It's hard to say goodbye. And every parent, my wife, bless her heart, I love my wife. Our son bought him a house, moved out. And I told my wife, I said, well, girl, it's just you and me now. She broke down, went to crying. I thought, why did I say that? You didn't have to remind me. And I mean, I never seen so many tears and snot slinging. But, you know what? I thought she was, you know, done over it. I didn't know it was still that tender with her. I said, well, it's just you and me now, girl. And she here, broke, boy, I mean, makeup. Bless my wife, don't wear makeup. She's a holiness girl. But I mean, here comes a tear. You don't have to remind me, but you got to let them go sometimes. You got to say, okay, I love you enough to let you go, but I wish you had enough sense to stay. But anyway, the loving father, let this young boy leave. You got the leaving part of this message. Verse 13, you got the freedom. This young boy thinks that he's now got his freedom, thinking he has the world by the tail with his I know what I'm doing attitude. You ever notice that? I know what I'm doing. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. Well, we've all had it one time or another. It's like the measles. It'll break out on you. He followed the path of all that walk away from those that care about them. You know what he found out? He found out it's cold out there, fellas.
Right.
I remember my parents telling me, one of these days you'll find out it's cold out there.
That's right.
Amen. Maybe you, but not me. You know, we had that, I don't know, some kind of birth defect. We just can't listen.
That's right.
We can't receive instruction. We're just stubborn. But the leaving part, it says here, and the younger of them, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance, riotous litter. I can see him now with a stick, you know, and he's got his belongings out there and got them tied on there with a neck, and here he goes. He's Tom Sawyer, you know. I'm out for adventure.
Amen.
I mean, was it Born Wild? What is that song? Born to be Wild? Yeah. You know, about my day at Steppenwolf song. And, you know, that was me. I thought I was like that. But he's got his freedom now. And he finds out real quick it's cold out there. He had taken for granted the blessing of his father's house. It didn't take him long to learn that bitter lesson. Did you notice that verse says, not many days? You see that? Not many days after the younger son gathered together took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance of riotous living. It didn't take him long. It didn't take many years. And you know, a wise person lays a little up. I mean, I have to keep money here. My wife finds it, just killed me. She finds it, finds its keeper, loses where I hide money. I hope when I die, they go through our house, they don't tell where all the money. Some of it I can't even find. I bet it's a good, I don't even know where it is. I find money all the time. But anyway, he didn't put no thought about anything going wrong, so he just wasted his substance and riotous living.
That's right.
You know, if it felt good, you know, yeah, he did it, and if it looked good, he eat it, and all of that. And you know, young people, they really don't know the dangers. They don't know that any precaution needs to be put in place, you know. And so he just went, just throw it all, and his father gave him away. It didn't take long. Not many days. Didn't take long at all. And I saw a lot of people do this same thing. I saw them. Matter of fact, it ain't been very long at all. We had a church thing. I don't remember if it was honoring the pastor. I don't remember if it was maybe an anniversary of the church. I just remember there was a celebration. And in this celebration, there was a young girl that I was trying to figure out who is that. You know how I figured out who she was, Brother Mitchell? I mean, I actually did not recognize her.
Right.
She went over and hugged my pastor's neck. Right. I realized that was his granddaughter.
Amen.
Now, he won't mind me saying this. I'm pretty sure he won't because he's a preacher. But I could see it in his eyes. I could see that he was grieved in his heart. She had changed the color of her hair. She had changed the whole dynamics of how she looked. I didn't even know who she was. If she had not hugged his neck, I'd have said, who was that? And it was his granddaughter. And she'd, like the prodigal, made some terrible, terrible decisions. Mm-hmm. And it was easy to see.
Amen.
I mean, if she hadn't hugged his neck, I'd never know who she was. But it didn't take long. He wasted his life, wasted what his father had given him. He wasted all the things that he had to waste. And verse 14 says, and when he'd spent all. Boy, I can remember, boy, we used to get change together and try to get enough to go buy a loaf of bread. You know, when you got down, you know, and you ain't got two nickels rubbed together, all of a sudden reality sets in, boy, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, right.
He had spent all, so all the security that he had depended upon to somehow make it without the help of his father, man, I would just stop right here a minute. My son, Dad, you got any money? Yes, son, here. Dad, you got any money? Yes, son, here. Dad, you got any money? I done give him almost $3,000. Dad, you got any money? I said, here. He said, I'm going to get my taxes done. He got his taxes done. You know how much he's getting back? $180. Don't worry, son. It'll be all right. But you know what? That's the way the world is. The world will take everything you've got. It'll strip you of all of your honor. It'll strip you of all of the things that are dear to you. They'll take you and they'll rob you and they'll, I'm telling you, they'll just put you through the mill.
Yeah.
Devour everything you got.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you'll notice here, and when he had spent all, the unthinkable happened. There arose a mighty famine in that land. You know, it wasn't like he was just barely making it. Now he's in worst case scenario. He's spent everything he's got. Now there's a famine. And it says, and he began to be in want. And we're getting ready to get into the sixth part of this message here. His mistakes. He had spent all. He had wasted his substance in riotous living.
That's right.
He was out of control, without a thought about any trouble or tomorrow. I mean, he's just living for the day. You know, in Luke chapter 12, there's a man mentioned there It had the opposite, the flip side of this. This man had plenty.
Yeah.
He had so much, he had to tear his barns down, build a greater barn, because he had so much. And he said, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said that night, thou fool, this soul should be required of thee.
Yeah, amen.
When shall those goods be? So is he that's not rich towards God. Now this young man had a good godly father, and that's a big plus.
Yeah.
This other guy had everything a man could ever need in life, and he was ready to live, but he wasn't ready to die. I've met something like that. Somebody said, how much to leave behind? Left it all behind. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world?
Yeah, just so.
And lose his soul. You know, so many people are prospering today.
That's right.
But they're still poverty stricken because they ain't rich in God.
Right, right.
I mean, buddy, I tell you what, I sleep like a baby. I have perfect peace.
Amen.
I got perfect salvation.
That's right.
I'm going to a perfect home.
That's right.
It may not be perfect here, but it's going to be perfect.
It will be perfect.
I mean, buddy, God's plans for me are perfect.
Right.
The devil has to get permission, Karen, to kick dirt on me. I mean, yes, go ask God. It's okay if I kick a little dirt on me. And God said, no. Ain't that something? I like that. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you got to go ask permission to cause any trouble my way. And if God allows it, it's either because I need it.
Amen.
But I've been living here lately pretty much trouble free. And I've been thinking, Lord, am I about ready to get some of that I don't want? But you know what? I'm so glad that God is so easy to please. It ain't like you got to do any great thing. All you got to do is just keep your heart right with God.
Amen.
How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye the book, Lord, and read. No one of these shall fail. Keep your nose in the book. The book will always show you right and wrong. It will always point you like a compass in the direction that you need to go.
That's right.
You know, when I studied this yesterday after God led me in this direction, I was surprised how much was in this, these five verses here. I thought, wow, Lord, man, your word's loaded. And I ain't even got to where I'm going here. I'm just kind of chipping away at it. But you know, this guy here, he was young. He made mistake after mistake. He left. He thought he had freedom. He is in bondage. And he just kept on adding sin to sin.
That's right.
This son now, he's regretting his foolish decision. And it didn't take long. But you know what's good? He's given a second chance.
Yeah, that's right.
And the world's full of these prodigals. Do you notice here? Let me see if I can bring this out like God brought this out to me. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself. There's something to this. To a citizen of that country.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just going to guess, and it's not real clear, but I'm going to guess this guy was a pretty good friend as long as he had money. I'm going to guess the reason he went to this guy because he said, I got friends.
Yeah.
You know them kind of friends y'all talking about, their friends as long as you got money.
Yeah.
They're one of the friends you got with their guy. There's a reason I believe he went to this man. Now it's not clear cut in the scripture, but I believe he went and said, hey, I'm down on the luck, can you help me? And he said, yeah, I'll help you go out there and feed my swine.
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind of an insult to a Jewish boy.
Yeah, that's right.
So let me put it in perspective here, Rita. He's somewhere he don't want to be.
That's exactly right.
I've been there.
Yeah.
He's doing something he don't want to do.
That's right.
I've been there.
Yeah.
You know what, buddy? You fall around the wrong one, that's where you'll be. You'll be somewhere that you can't believe you're where you're at.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself doing something you can't believe you're doing.
Yeah.
And it won't be nothing no
that's
more
right.
than you just took advice from the wrong one.
That's right.
I believe there's a reason he went to this citizen of this country.
Right.
I think they've been pretty good friends as long as he had money.
Yeah.
And he thought they'd got to go to him, he'll help me out. You better be careful who you go to and then help.
Because
this man didn't help him out at all. He sends him out there. He said, I'll tell you what, you want to help me out? You go out there in my field out there and you feed my swine. Now, that's an insult for a Jewish boy to be feeding hogs, but he went out there and he done it. It tells me he's at least willing to try.
Yeah.
Verse 16 said he would fain have filled his belly with a husk and a corn.
That's right.
You ever shucked any corn?
Yeah.
That's the husk.
Yeah.
He's feeding these hogs husk. He's so hungry, Brother Mitchell. He thought, you know what, I wouldn't mind eating a little bit of that myself.
Mm, right.
That's pretty low.
That is low.
I mean, buddy, that's about as far down as you can go down.
That's right. Amen.
Now, there's something in this verse I ain't read yet. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Notice them last words. And no man gave him. He's willing to eat it. Just nobody won't give him none.
Right. That's right.
I can see him now. Boy, I like having a little bit of that husk. Mm-hmm. You can't have nuts for the hogs.
Right.
That's how bad it can get. Mm-hmm. He's at the lowest low. That's right. Buddy, he's down where nobody cares except one.
That's right.
The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him if he cares for you.
Yeah.
There's still one that cares.
That's right. That's
he's
right.
Pictured in this parable as a father. And even though this lesson's learned the hard way, even this boy here, he's had to swallow a bitter pill. I'm glad, praise God, it don't end. I'm glad he's given a second chance. I'm glad this story's got a happy ending. World's full of these prodigals.
That's right. Amen.
My first 30 years, that's what I was. These prodigals are out there. They need someone to care about them. They need someone to help them find their way back. You know, old Jacob, he got in trouble. You know what God told him? Go back to Bethel. Start all over, boy.
That's right.
So now you just got to start all over. Well, that's kind of what this prodigals have to do, is have to start all over. It's not a joyful thing. It's a little bit of humility, a little bit of shame.
That's right.
A little bit of eating a little crow. But you know what? He starts thinking. I like that verse where it said he came to himself. I ain't going to preach that in this message. I'm going to preach that in the second part. But he's given a second chance. He spared everything he's got, Carolyn. He's in want. No man will even give him a husk to eat. He's done down. I'll even eat some of this hog food. They won't even give him none. Said no man gave it to him. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That tells me he wouldn't eat it. They wouldn't give it to him. And no man gave unto him. Well, these prodigals out there, they've learned bitter lessons. The money's gone. The friend's gone. Let me say this. They may look weird. They may talk weird. They may smell weird. Does anybody know why? John 15, verse 19, Jesus says the world loves its own.
Yeah.
They want to be loved.
Right.
But they get their ear pierced because they want somebody to love them.
That's right.
And then they start sleeping around because they want somebody to love them. Then they start popping pills, getting hooked on this, hooked on that. The whole time they're miserable.
That's right.
But you know what? They want somebody to love them.
Right.
Yeah. They just keep making one bad decision after another bad decision. They keep adding to the problem instead of getting help for the problems. They're out there.
Right.
Our mission is to find them.
Right.
Our mission is to help them. Right. To tell them there's one that cares.
Right.
There's one that loves no matter what.
Right.
There's one that forgives no matter what. There's one got his hands stretched out saying, let me help. They're out there.
Right.
God help us if we ever come a church that doesn't care.
That's right.
Right.
You're right.
Oh, I thought about this a lot. I thought, you know, they go in some churches, but it's your own fault. They don't need need that.
No.
You don't know better. You don't need that.
You don't need that. No.
Let me give you a good illustration here. I don't even know if I can say this or not. My pastor's brother, tremendous guitar player, talented, blessed. Yeah. He showed up at my pastor's door, Derek. He's so drunk, couldn't even hardly stand up. He beat on the door till Rick answered the door. He just stood there. You know what Rick did, Rita? Pulled him up, hugged him, kissed him, brought him in there, laid him on the couch, put a pillow on his head, covered him up in a blanket. Said, you'll be all right.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you what, I marvel at that. Right. Not a word, no condemnation. Mm-hmm. No, what are you doing at my doorstep? What are you doing drunk? Not anything. Just loved him. Derek gave that testimony, not Rick. Mm. He said, I was expecting him to say, you sorry thing. What are you going to show up at my doorstep? Drunk. Derek, he said, I couldn't believe such love was shown unto me. Mm. He said, I never forgot that reception. Mm. You know what Rick did? He probably went back there and prayed all night long. On Rick.
That's right.
They're out there. They need somebody to care enough.
Right.
The offer.
That's
son
right.
Beside husk, beast, fed, and swine. You say, well, you know, I'll give people money, put gas in the car, help them change the tire, and everything else. This other day, they had on the news there, well, this disabled veteran come up on this guy, had a flat tire, and what was his name, Ed?
He was
a black
vice,
politician.
He was a vice president, wasn't he?
Yeah. Colin Powell's, right?
Yeah.
Colin Powell's, Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Just, by chance, he pulled up, had him change his tire. He ain't got the one foot. He got an artificial foot, changed his tire. He said, I know you in some way. He said, I'm Colin Powell. Well, you know what? They had a mutual respect for one
another. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Find that one.
That's
that
right.
Stinks. That
that's
one
right.
That you can't bear the sight of and say, I sure would like to help you.
Right.
If there's anything
Amen.
I can do to help you,
that's
I'll
right.
do it.
Right.
You know that good Samaritan? Everybody else had passed by this way, passed by that way. That good Samaritan, the Bible said he went to where he was, had compassion upon him. He poured in wine and oil into his wound, bound it up, put him on his own beast, took him to the inn, said, take care of him. When I come back, if he owes any more, I'll pay it. I'm telling you, put some money down. He said, when I come back, if there's any more down, I'll pay it. He pictures Jesus, Glory to God. Help us to be Christ-like. Help us to be finding that one that's going astray. That one that needs somebody to help them find their way back, Glory to God.
That's right.
This boy was in trouble. No man gave to him. That's a sad commentary.
Yeah.
They're out there. They made bad decisions. Just trying to be accepted. Trying to fit in. Trying to be loved. You see, when a church fails, they fail.
That's right.
My pastor told me, Brother Mitchell, he said, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care.
Right.
Let me tell you something. It's hard to hide love.
Yes, right. It is.
Y'all show me a lot of love since I've been here. That's one thing I brag about. I said, I've been loved so much in all my life. Try to love y'all back. Uh-huh. And anytime you got anything, talk with Brother Eddie, I'll do my best to love him. Try to give you the best counsel, advice I can. I may not be the best counsel, but I'll give a lot of counsel. But I'll tell you this much. I love you. I'll pray for you. I call every one of your names out to God.
Right.
All those prayer requests that you've asked me, they went beyond this trailer.
Amen.
I'm carrying it with me.
Right.
I'm out there at work. Sometimes I'm out there at work. Say, Lord, remember that prayer request. Honor it, Lord. Granted that to be riches and glory.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
I'm back here praying with Sister Sharon. Lord, I agree with my sister on behalf of that woman. Right. She told me that granddaughter come home. I said, I rejoice with you, glory to God.
That's right.
You know, we can pray. That's one thing we can do. Don't cause nothing. You can pray.
That's
you can
right.
say, Lord, look into this. Lord, this needs your attention. This needs you to do something here. I'll tell you what the Bible said. If any two of you agree on anything on earth, it'll be done to my Father which is in heaven. That's one thing we can do. We can pray.
Exactly.
You might just see somebody. You might say, Lord, they need help. Help them, Lord. I don't know how many times I've seen people... I bow my head, Lord, help them. They're doing stupid things.
Amen.
Lord, they need you. I can tell by their demeanor, they're out of touch with God. They're prideful. They're in far country making terrible decisions. They need somebody. I heard a good testimony this week on King of Kings on the Unshackled.
Yeah.
This guy was from India. His life was so messed up. I kind of grieved me a little bit to hear all. I mean, he's just sarcastic. And he went to a doctor. And this doctor was a Christian man, Brother Danny, and the doctor tried to invite him to a meeting. And he said, I ain't got time for that. And I'm living it up. And anyway, the doctor never gave up. And he came to the doctor again. He said, boy, we got a speaker coming tonight. I really wish you'd come. He said, he's like you. He's an alcoholic. But he said, he don't drink no more, but he's been an alcoholic. And anyway, that guy said, you know what? I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to come. Just so you'll leave me alone, just for that very reason, I'm going to come. And he's back there like this right here, hitting me with the best shot.
Yeah.
And that guy did kind of, I mean, it kind of, you know, just of course it's a talk kind of like program Unshackled is. And he kind of gave the words of this preacher, and really, for lack of better words, he didn't really make no hard statements or anything. But he quoted that verse in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. And when he quoted that verse in Proverbs, this man back there said, you mean God wants my old dirty? He started crying. God wants my old dirty black heart? He couldn't believe that God was interested in him enough to say, give me your heart. Well, he left, he cried, he went home, all his drinking buddies, and what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. He just cried, they all left. He's there crying. Finally, he gave his heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Man, he became, I mean, turned the world upside down, saved, I mean, big time. Went home, back to India. He just gave up all he's doing over here, went back to India. I mean, turned India upside down, turned America upside down. You just don't never know. All that preacher did was read the verse. He said, it says here in the Bible, my son, give me thine heart. You never know what God can do.
That's right.
With just one word that was spoken. That man thought, God wants my old dirty black heart. You know, it became personal.
Yeah.
He thought, right. God wants my heart. And I've held it back from him. And that was his prayer. Lord, if you want my heart, I give it. He didn't know how to pray, you know. But he said, I give my heart to you if you want it. God, he honored that. Saved him. Glorified him. Saved him. Just never know.
That's right. No.
This young boy right here, he pictures a lot of people out there. Until they have their fill, they're going to do just like this boy right here did.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to go this drug dealer. They're going to go this fast.
Yeah.
They're going to go somewhere they don't need to go.
That's right.
They're going to do something they don't need to do. And they're going to keep doing it till either die or they get caught or something changes, something happens.
Right. Amen.
Sadly, Brother Mitchell, a lot of them don't make it too far.
That's right.
And they find their remains.
Amen.
And they try to match up the dental work, try to figure out who they were.
Yeah.
Young girls especially. They've been lied to thinking it's safe out there. You ain't got to worry about nothing. There's wolves out there. I like telling the truth. There's wolves out there. And you need to stay under the sheltering arm of mom and dad. And hopefully mom and dad's Christian enough to pray for you.
Right.
Man, I pray for my granddaughters. I don't know about y'all, but I pray God to help them find good, godly husbands. I said, Lord, it hurt my feelings a bit if they're preachers. I said, that'd be an extra blessing. I want to find good, godly husbands that'll respect them, that'll protect them, that'll pray over them, that'll provide for them, that'll be there when they need them. And I said, I hope they meet my expectation and yours too, Lord.
Right.
Man, I like to pray.
Amen.
I like to tell God, Lord, you know, I said one day, Sharon, I said, Lord, I give both of them granddaughters to you. I said, I just want to watch them grow up. We'll share them together.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Man, I put them in the best hands I know to put them in.
That's right.
I put them in his hands. I said, Lord, I give you charge over them. Anything comes, anything happens to them, I said, Lord, it's going to be your fault. You watch over them. You keep my apple of your eye. We'll watch them grow up together.
Amen.
Man, pray like you mean it. God honors prayer. We're going to stop right there. But let me say, the world's full of people that are just like this young boy right here. They're going down that road of hard knocks. They've had all kind of advice given to them. It's been bad advice. And they haven't had their fill. This young man, you know, the next verse talks about the repentance of this young man. We're going to save that for next week. But I'll tell you what, the world is full of people just like this young man. Tired of being told what to do. They think they're old enough to make their own decisions. And they make mistake after mistake after mistake. Some of them make it, some of them don't.
Yeah.
But I wish they were here to hear this message today.
Right.
Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this thought of the day. Lord, how relevant it is in the day and hour we're living in, with so many young people, Lord, are just left alone. It seemed like, Lord, to give them a cell phone when they're old enough, Lord, to get out of diapers, Lord, just grieves me, Lord, to see our young people just being under attack from every direction. And Lord, I would to God we could get this church full of young people. Lord, we could teach them the good Word of God and tell them about the good love of God. And try to help them, Lord, to get braced and ready for what's coming at them, Lord. We know how this world is. We know it's, Lord, just ungodly environment, Lord, for any young person to grow up in. And Lord, whatever, Lord, I pray you'll give us the opportunity to do. We'll do it all to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask Brother Jerry, please, and Sister Sharon, if they would, sing us a verse of invitational hymn. And ask everybody to stand.